I'll just introduce myself. I'm Marlene Little. Beryl and I were out for lunch one day, and she shocked me, and she surprised me by asking if I would speak at her funeral about her involvement in music and Armta. I was both honored and humbled. As I sat down to put some thoughts on paper, I was reminded of something Beryl said to me on numerous occasions. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I'm going to do my best. Beryl, to me, was one classy lady, always so well put together, full of joy, living and sharing her faith and love of music. She was always positive, upbeat, encouraging, with a ready smile or a heartfelt laugh, in spite of all the challenges she may have been facing. Music was a huge part of Beryl's life. She started playing the organ in church and teaching at a young age. It seems to me I recall her telling me that she was in her teens, I believe, because, as she said, at that time and in that particular place, there was no one else to do it. So, of course, Beryl stepped up and filled the void. Over the years in her own studio at home, Beryl shared her love of music with many children, youth, and even older adults, always encouraging them and providing performance opportunities through her private recitals. Beryl was also a very active member of the North Bay branch of Armta, attending meetings regularly, as well as workshops and even out-of-town courses and seminars, always with an eye to self-improvement and how else she could help her students. Now, her students participated in Armta recitals as well as her own studio recitals and Kiwanis festivals. Knowing the benefit of duets, she was more than willing to have her students play with someone else's student and from another studio, whatever would benefit the student. That's what Beryl wanted, and she wanted them to have the enjoyment of music. These private students that we have become almost like family to us, and there's a special rapport developed. Beryl always considered what would be best for each student. And I recall when she decided to retire, she had a student, I believe this individual was nearing the end of grade 8. And Beryl thought about it and felt that she couldn't just ask the person to go to another teacher at that particular point in her study. So she said, I kept that person. I worked with her, and we even had recitals, small recitals, but we had recitals, so she had performance opportunities, just as though she was a full studio. Beryl was always willing to participate in Armta activities, and I remember at one meeting after she had retired, I asked Beryl if she would help me put together the Armta scrapbook that year. Now, she agreed. She wasn't sure about it, and I wasn't either. But we made a great pair because neither one of us really knew what we were doing. But we sure had a lot of fun. We had great get-togethers, meetings, and sharing ideas and putting this thing together. And I guess it turned out okay, because when we sent it off to Toronto, it earned a first place finish provincially. I'm sure no one was more surprised than we were. We can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. Beryl's joy and love of music was very evident in her church, but also in a special group of adults who met on a mostly monthly basis to play for one another. Some of us were working hard to complete various grade levels up to and including ARCT, in other words, our music degree for teaching, while others just enjoyed the sharing and the fellowship. Beryl was like the glue that held us together, making sure to set a date for the next time we would meet. She was always encouraging us and arranging duets with different group members. It was always a treat to watch Beryl when she played. And this didn't happen on a regular basis, but occasionally it would happen if she forgot a little section. It was no problem to her because she just sang along until she could pick it back up again and keep on going. Thanks in part to that group with Beryl's faith and encouragement, at least four of us completed our ARCT. Thank you, Beryl. Singing, playing piano or organ, encouraging others, and living life with joy and a positive spirit were just some of the gifts with which God blessed Beryl. These gifts she shared enthusiastically in the spirit of, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Just before I sit down, I would like to share something from Beryl that Sue Nicholson, our organist, shared with me. Perhaps it will help you understand a bit more why Beryl was that joyful, positive, classy lady that we knew and loved. These are Beryl's words. I have faith in the healing power of God as it works in me now. I have faith that everything works together for my good, and I work with it in the power and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. I have faith that there is a perfect solution for every situation because God is in control. My faith makes me whole.
Amen. We want to sing another song. Number 486, The Lord's My Shepherd.
Thank you.
be seated. I want to invite Jill at this time to come and give tribute.
Hello. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Beryl's sister Joan's daughter. So, and like Marlene, several years ago, Aunt Beryl approached me and said, I'd like you to speak at my funeral. So I'll only use that word once, because she wouldn't have liked this to be a funeral. And I also was honored and humbled to say yes. However, for years after that, I would think about this from time to time and think, how am I supposed to talk? Because she asked me to talk about family. That's what she wanted me to talk about. And I didn't really know, even until the last week, exactly what I was going to say. And before I get started, I want to say Aunt Beryl would want us all to be aware that it's her daughter Elizabeth's birthday today. Aunt Beryl loved a party, so she'll enjoy this party afterwards. I think family was defined in very broad terms for Beryl. First and foremost, her daughter Elizabeth was the most important person to her. She loved Elizabeth without condition. She loved her grandchildren, two of whom are here today, her sisters, her nieces and nephews, her friends and neighbors, her church community. I believe that family was all-encompassing for Beryl. Her idea of family included much more than just blood relation. It included all of those people who touched her life. Beryl was the second youngest of six major sisters. Her passing marks the passing of that generation for our family. We feel the loss of Beryl and her sisters acutely. We three cousins here today, Bev, Elizabeth, and I, have talked about how much the loss of this generation has meant to us. We will miss our mothers and their sisters, and their sisters, our aunts. The passing of Aunt Beryl leaves a very large void for us. I think Aunt Beryl would want me to talk about her sisters today, sisters that were very dear to her. Each of them had been given gifts, Bea the writer, Bertha the painter, Betty the weaver, Joan the singer, Beryl the musician, and Beverly. Beverly was the baby and died quite young, so we'll never know what Beverly's gift was. I think the greatest lesson that we can take away from Beryl and that generation in our family is the joy for life and the commitment to fostering the gifts and talents we have been blessed with that were passed to us from them. Sam, or Uncle Nick as family knew him, was Beryl's husband. They met in Saint-Jean, Quebec, both members of the Canadian Forces. The two of them laughed easily and knew how to love life. I think they must have been the life of the party as a young couple. Their love was an enduring one, and Sam's passing in 2002 was very difficult for Beryl. She missed him dearly and looked forward to being with him again. Her neighbors were a source of great strength through the years, whether they were her neighbors here in North Bay or neighbors and friends from the many towns and bases where Sam and Beryl lived throughout Sam's military career. She always embraced change through her life and quickly made a new life wherever they went. While in Germany, she became the commanding officer's executive assistant. It was always a source of great pride that Aunt Beryl's security clearance was higher than her husband, Nick. That job also offered her the opportunity to meet Prince Philip and shake his hand and curtsy. And the fact that I just said that would please her greatly that I shared that with everyone here. Beryl's music students were a source of pride and also part of her family, as Marlene said. Her music friends stimulated her need for creativity and flamboyance. Aunt Beryl was a flashy dresser, and she loved any opportunity to be glamorous. Her church community was a source of strength and commitment. Beryl's faith was unwavering. She was a talented pianist, and she provided the music in this church for many years. It was a source of great joy for her. She sat on the church board for years, worked tirelessly with her sisters through the years to ensure that the doors of this church remained open. These last several years were difficult for Beryl as she suffered from dementia. As this disease progressed and began robbing her of her memories and personality, Aunt Beryl remained steadfast in her faith. A Christian woman with a deep abiding belief in God, her faith never wavered. Last February, when Beryl died, I like to think that the major sisters were reunited. I think there must have been such a wonderful reunion that day. I don't know what is possible in the next life, but I'd like to think that those six very special women gathered in some form of cosmic embrace that included music and love and much joyful noise. Beryl is with her heavenly family now.
Certainly resonate just the little bit that I knew about Beryl. With the word classy, boy, that was resonates with me, and her joy and love for life, and her faith. You know, when I went to see Beryl in the past few years, of course, it was very confused to talk. But I found if I were to say I'm privileged to be the pastor of the church your father started, and that seemed to anchor her a little bit, and so. She loved family so much.
Thank you.
It's always a privilege for me as pastor to kind of get a glimpse into someone's life broader than what I knew them. Of course, I only knew Beryl for just over 5 years, but she certainly lived a full life. Wanted to speak for a moment today, and I only had the privilege of knowing Beryl for a few years. When I arrived at the church 6 years ago, Beryl had already stepped back from actively serving because of the season of her life. However, her impact on our church and so many continued. Of course, at that time, Liz and Beryl lived right next door here in the Parsonage building. And Beryl was very faithful to attend our services, often dressing to the nines, might I add. She would often arrive while we were preparing music and would sit kind of over there where Bonnie is and just kind of those songs that were familiar to her, you could see her singing along even before the service began. All those words were there. She also, as has been said, she had a great sense of humor and brought joy to so many. I've shared this with a few folks, but this past Christmas, I was able to drop in. I had some Christmas cards to give her, and she was opening some gifts from Liz. And it was so precious because she would open that gift and, pull out a pair of socks. And she'd say, "Oh, I needed socks," she said. She was so happy about every one. But there were two things that gave Beryl much more joy than Christmas gifts. Her family and her Lord were Beryl's joys. Whenever one of her sisters would come up in conversation, she would stop, and it was almost like she was testing herself. Okay, can I list everyone? B, Bertha, Betty, Beatrice, Beverly. Of course, and then there'd be a story. Well, we called Beatrice Joan, and there was always stories that went along with that. She loved her daughter Elizabeth and appreciated her care for her. Beryl's family and their accomplishments gave her great joy. She was proud of you. She was so proud also of her heritage and that her father, Reverend William John Major, he began the Wesleyan Methodist churches both in Powassan and here. And so we give tribute to Beryl's father. 85 years ago, we are celebrating our anniversary this year. Beryl took great joy in her family and loved you all very much. Beryl took great joy in her relationship with the Lord. She spoke often about not understanding why God had kept her here so long in recent years with her vision and her mind having trouble. But there was a sweet surrender. If you were around Beryl very long, there was a sweet surrender to the Lord in these things that was a powerful testimony in itself, wasn't it? She often spoke with longing tones about going to heaven and seeing those that had gone on before her. And it is to heaven that we turn for just a few moments this morning as we look at the Word of God. The words of Jesus from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 1 to 4. This is what it says. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." What does Scripture teach us about heaven? Focusing in on this Scripture today for a moment. Heaven gives us what I would call heart hope. Heart hope. "Let not your hearts be troubled," Jesus said. Why does this help us not be troubled in our heart? Because there is much trouble around. You don't have to look very far. I know Some of you, there's many of you that I don't know. Some of you I've just met today. But I know that we share this common bond, don't we? Trouble. Trouble. Life is not always easy. Life wasn't always easy for Beryl. There were wonderful times, but there were challenging times as well. But we look forward with hope to heaven. It is a reminder that there is a day coming when God, as it says in Revelation 7:17, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. What a hope. And we keep on because our hope is bigger than what we're going through. It's anchored in where we're going to. That's where our hope is anchored. Heaven gives us heart hope. Heaven is everything perfect and right. Years ago, I heard a speaker say that if it took God 6 days to create the world, he's been working at heaven for 2,000 years now. So in comparison, we live in a garbage dump compared to heaven. Don't get me wrong, this world is beautiful, with scenes that take your breath away. We have moments of love and laughter and health. But we also know that there are moments of heartbreak, despair, and sickness. God's perfect creation has been marred by the effects of sin. We can read about this in the first chapters of the book of Genesis, but don't we all instinctively know this? We love, but not with a perfect love. We laugh, but sometimes happiness is fleeting. We enjoy good health today, but tomorrow. Heaven puts all of these things back in order. Heaven is a place of perfect love. Heaven is a place of perfect joy, perfect health. Beryl is seeing with new eyes today, hearing with new ears. And I'm sure there must be a piano or organ up there somewhere she's playing. Jesus said in our scripture that if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Heaven is for you. Heaven is for you. There is a sense in this passage that Jesus is inviting us to come to his home. It is ironic, isn't it, that it takes moments like these of loss and remembrance for families to come together. I know that there are many, many memories that will be shared and have already been shared today. And if you could sum them up, aren't they kind of summed up with that word home? Memories of home. In the best sense, there's something about family that anchors us and reminds us of home. Whatever your experiences of home, though, listen to the invitation implied in Jesus' words, that where I am, there you may be also. The invitation is there for you. Heaven is for you. But how do we have assurance of heaven when someday your loved ones gather in a moment like this, talking about eternity? There in our passage, I believe, is the key, as it began and said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Assurance of heaven is not found in Christian service, although Beryl was a wonderful example of service and giving to others. Assurance of heaven is not found in loving family and meaningful relationships, although Beryl was certainly rich in these. One evening at our midweek Bible study, Beryl was speaking of, I believe it was her sister Betty. And she said, oh, she's a wonderful Christian woman. And she kind of paused and said, too bad she's Anglican, she said. And we laughed and we thought it was so funny that she she said that. I suppose being the daughter of a Wesley Methodist minister, that would be of concern to her. But it is a reminder of something much more serious and often misunderstood. Assurance of heaven is not found in what church you attend or what denominational label you attach to your church membership. I did not know Reverend Major. He was long before I came around. I was reminded with the slideshow today, and I had kind of forgotten that Beryl and her family, they lived in my hometown of Roblin for a little while, and Reverend Major pastored there. I recognized one of the spots that was there, and that's where I'm from. So in a roundabout way, can I claim a little bit of a treasure here today? I did not know Reverend Major, but from what I do know and the heritage he belongs to, I believe I can confidently say with him, assurance of heaven is found only through Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." So the question I have for you today is this: will you make Beryl's joy complete and meet her in heaven one day by accepting the gift of eternal life from Jesus? A few years ago, for our church's 80th anniversary, so that would have been 5 years ago, I videoed Beryl and thought I would just share really what she had to say about this. Can I do that today? Go ahead, Drew.
And my husband, late in life, gave his heart to the Lord.
Wonderful.
And he died in 2002. And I often look back and think, I would have been so hard to lose him and know that he hadn't gone to heaven. Mm. And to know that he went to heaven, it was just wonderful. Mm. And we one night listened to a Hagee sermon on the TV. And of course, my husband knew how I lived and often drove me to church, but never went in. And this was a wonderful sermon. It was on salvation. And when it was all over, I thought, I really have to say something to him. And I said, "Sam, you should really give your heart to the Lord." And he very quietly said, "I already have." And that was a wonderful blessing to me. Mm-hmm. And he attended church and everything after that.
Mm.
But he died, I'd say, within a year.
What does it mean to have a hope of heaven and salvation?
It's a wonderful blessing in your life. I think I would be afraid to die if I didn't have the Lord in my life. Whereas now I'm looking forward to it. I'm 85, and I've done a lot of things in my life, born in Ireland, lived in Europe for 7 or 8 years, traveled. Well, I worked out in the summertime. I worked way out at Banff Springs Hotel. And I did all kinds of things, and had a wonderful life. But it was the most exciting thing was when I gave my heart to the Lord and to know that he loved me. And even when I did that, I don't think I realized how wonderful it was. Because through life, things happen, and you need the Lord to help you through difficult times, like my husband dying. And it was just wonderful to have the Lord there, saying, "It's okay, Beryl. We'll do this together," type of thing. And the Lord was wonderful to me. Psalm 23: "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. He maketh me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. My soul he doth restore again, and me to walk doth make within the paths of righteousness, even for his own name's sake. Yea, though I walk through death's dark vale, yet will I fear no evil. The Lord is with me," and he will take, now I forgot the rest of that, but it if the Lord will take me through.
Beautiful.
And he's a wonderful friend, as well as a Lord and Master, really.
Isn't that beautiful? Especially when she just went into the Psalm 23, and it's just beautiful words today. I'd love to pray with us, and can I be so bold to ask, if you have not received assurance of heaven, why not pray this prayer with me from the heart? Could we pray? Reflect on these words, and you can pray in your spirit as a reaffirmation of your faith, or perhaps faith today. God, I admit that I need you. I repent of my sin. I receive your gift of eternal life and ask you to come and live in my heart today. Help me to walk with you from this moment forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There's been several talks of parties. Scripture says there is no greater party in heaven than someone who receives the Lord Jesus. As we close our service today, Beryl has asked that we would say the Lord's Prayer together, and then we're going to sing It Is Well With My Soul, number 70. So I'd invite you to stand. And could we, I know many of us know this off by heart, but it is also on the screen today. Let's pray today. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Number 70. Let's sing this to the Lord today.
When peace like a attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with that last verse. And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul.
May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for coming today. We do invite you to come to our reception after. God's blessing on you today.